live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, indeed. It's Sunday. It's time for the Sunday sermon. And I'm going to start today's episode off with a big heartfelt thank you to everyone who reached out via message, via Instagram, via text, via space, via the spirit world, to offer condolences for our recent family bereavement. We're not going to bang on about it, but thank you. It was genuinely a very heartfelt situation I found myself in as I read each message. So I do sincerely, I was again blown away by the just beautifulness of the paranormal community. So give yourselves a pat on the back because you bloody deserve it. And if I ever meet you in the flesh, I shall also pat you on the back. So you've got that to look forward to. Anyway, moving on. How are you all? Have you all been okay? I do hope so. I do sincerely hope so. It looks like we're getting out of the woods, doesn't it, COVID-wise? I mean, as you know, I'm a wrestling fan. Wrestling! And it looks like WrestleMania, which is kind of the flagship event in WWE's calendar anyway. That's going to have fans in the stadium. Yes, that's exciting for wrestling fans. But you might not be a wrestling fan, therefore we will move on and we will talk about all things paranormal and spooky. Yes, we shall. So what have we got planned for today, you may well ask? Well, we have, as usual, a plethora of paranormal pickles to pick through. Yes, we do. And we've had some amazing emails in, which I'm going to read out to you. There's no guest on this week. We will have a guest on next week. Yes, a return caller. Yes, I'll leave that as a surprise. I shall. But this week, we've got some terrifying tales for you all, as per usual. And I can't wait to share them with you. Yes. You know what I done yesterday? I spent a lot of time on YouTube. I went down a bit of a YouTube hole, if you will. And I do love a lot of paranormal content providers on YouTube, such as Nuke Top 5. To name him, he's fantastic. Search him out. Nukes as in a nuclear bomb, N-U-K-E. Nukes Top 5. He shares each week amazing. I'm not paid to do this, by the way. He shares each week amazing paranormal videos. Some of them are dead sus, but some of them are mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Yes, they are. But you know what it made me think when I was watching these things? Not necessarily his, but you know when you go into a bit of a hole and you start clicking on link after link? Why are people still... And I hope none of you guys are. I'm sure we're a bit more educated on this podcast and the listeners about paranormal video content. But it does surprise me when we still see, you know, the old security camera outside of a house and what is clearly a spider or an insect moving in front of the camera. And people are like, oh my God, look at this thing. Look at this thing here moving strangely like a spider. Look at this thing here. Looks like it's dangling down, dropping down from above and then shooting back up. It's a spider. It really does annoy me. It really does. And it annoys me when paranormal people, not us, of course, because we're brilliant, obviously, self-high five. But, you know, it annoys me when alleged paranormal experts or whatever share these videos and go like, look at this strange video of a white orb moving down in a spider-like pattern. It's like, it's a spider. Oh, anyway. So yeah, that's what I did yesterday. I hope you had a paranormal Saturday too. So it is Sunday. Here in the UK, it's Mothering Sunday. I know it's a different date elsewhere in the world, but here in the UK, it's Mothering Sunday. So to all of you people who are mothers, who have mothers, who wish to be mothers, I don't know whether you celebrate that, but I wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. Yes, I do. What are we going to do today on Mother's Day? Well, we're going to meet Becca's mother for a little socially distanced walk, which is lovely. And we have that, although it's bloody horrible outside. I know, like, my mate lives in Colorado and they're encountering a similar storm, or it could be, to what Texas had recently, you know, like a big dump of snow. So that's awful. So in kind of correlation to that, ours is pretty fine weather-wise. But for me, who hates the wind, I don't mind the wind. It's the rain with wind that I hate. I don't mind rain if it falls down like straight. And I don't mind wind if it's blowing your face off. But when you put those two together, the rain doesn't fall straight. If blow sideways and you just get drenched, and it looks like it's going to be one of those days. And where we're going for a walk is a little place called Otter's Pool in Liverpool, and it's on the waterfront, so it's going to be, well, basically atrocious. And Becca's going to be like, happy mother, happy mother, here's some flat, oh, they've flown away, here's your pret, oh, it's been damped, oh no, damped, that's a word. So yeah, we're going to have a tremendous day of battling the elements in the name of motherly love. And isn't that what Mother's Day is all about? I believe. Anyway, before we get into the Week in Weird, where we look at the weird things happening in the last 7 days, I do need to say thank you to our new Patreons. And because, of course, last week was a little bit of a shocker for me personally, I didn't get around to singing any new Patreons. So we've got a little bit of a list to get through, which I'm very thankful and grateful about. I've just finished recording this week's Patreon episode. It's all about the ghosts of rock stars or music stars in general. So if you want to check that out, be like the guys I'm about to sing to and go over to www. I don't need to do that anymore because everyone knows how the web works. But go to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. And there you will get 2 extra episodes each and every week just for you lucky people. Yes. Anyway, who are our new Patreons? And we have 8 new fantastic Patreons to say thank you to this week. Yes, we do. We have Nate Michaels, Amy Hunter, Nadia, Sean Todd, Flip Spin, Wendy Tugas, Steve Sant, and Sharon Kokoran. Thank you, you guys. You were all wonderful. Now, how am I going to fit 8 names into a song, you may ask? That's challenge 1. Challenge 2 has been set by new Patreon Nate Michaels, who is a musician himself. Go and check him out on Spotify. He's like a country and western singer. Yes, he is. Very good. And he said, could you try and fit the Patreon names into a version of my song called Red Hot Mess? And yes, I can, Nate Michaels. We're going to try and do that right now. The guitar's out, and here we go. This is the Red Hot Mess Patreon song. Yeah, baby, let's get it on. He doesn't say that. I just added that bit in. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's that time I sing to all my patrons. Gonna be extra hard cause there's 8 names this week. Well, there's Amy Hunter, Nadia, Sean Todd, Flip Spin, Wendy Tugas, Steve Stant, Nate, and Sharon Kokoran. And you're gonna be Patreons come the morning. You're gonna get 2 whole shows each and every week. And there's Amy Hunter, Nadia, Sean Todd, Flip Spin, Wendy Tugas, Steve Sant, Nate, and Sharon Kokoran. Ooh. Ended it on a 7th there. Bloody hell, that was hard. Thank you for the challenge, though, Nate. Go and check out Red Hot Mess on Spotify or wherever you get your music from by Nate Michaels and see how close to the original that was. It was very far off. Great song, though. Well done, Nate. So, if you want to be like those wonderful 8 people there and see why everyone's signing up, they're all cool. All the cool kids are going to my Patreon. But do go and check it out because you do get 2 extra shows each and every week just for you wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, dare I say, sexy Patreons. Anyway, let's get back to show.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's time for Weekend Weird, where we take a little spooky look at what's been going on in the world of the paranormal in the last 7 calendar days. Now, in keeping with today's Patreon episode, which is about ghosts of rock stars and ghosts surrounding the famous and all stuff like that, we have found an article on Reverb.com, which is a site dedicated to selling like secondhand music equipment and stuff. And basically, there's a haunted guitar for sale in Ohio for $666. Yes, that's right, the devil's asking price. And it says in this article, a vintage guitar shop is selling what they call a haunted guitar with a crazy backstory. I honestly don't know what's stranger. The fact a guitar shop is selling an allegedly haunted guitar for £666, or maybe the very descriptive and disturbing story for the ad on the Reverb website. The seller of this 6-string acoustic guitar tells a ghost story about the 13-year-old boy that once owned the possessed axe in the late 70s. Apparently, this team was heavily into satanic seances and other creepy black magic situations. He was allegedly found dead with this guitar laying over him. In a quote from the ad, which I can't click on for some reason, a quote from the ad says, this neophyte necromancer was born in June of 66. Do you see? The 6th month of the 66th year. 666 again. And died tragically on Halloween 1979 when he was just 13 years old. In brackets, his death has never been solved, but the calamitous kid was found laying on the bed with this guitar draped over him, apparently electrocuted, even though this is an acoustic guitar. The current owner of this ghastly guitar claims that on multiple occasions the guitar would randomly make sounds as if someone were playing it. This acoustic anomaly would even play itself when stored in the man's closet. He's not sure what type of guitar it is, since he believes Dark Forces have removed the brand name. He believes it to be a Kay Weston special, however. The spooky stringed instrument can be yours for just $666. But then it does say there's postage and packing on top of that, which would make it a much less scary fee. Anyway, that musical monstrosity brings you to the end of this week's Week in Weird. I wonder if I should buy it and do the Patreon songs with it. That could be interesting.
Week in Weird.
Okay, now our first story is a little bit short, but there's also an image attached. Now, to view this image, you need to go to the Facebook page, okay? So go to facebook.com/talkaboutghosts and join the group, because this image will be in that group, okay? Now, get on this. It's called Shadow Figure, and it's from JJ. He says, "Hi Kev, I've been a weekly listener for well over a year now and recently signed up to Patreon." Well, thank you, JJ. "Needless to say, I really enjoy what you're doing." Thank you again, JJ. "It's been especially nice to hear how the show has developed over the last few months with listener interviews and so on. Great stuff." Well, thank you thrice, JJ. "It's been on my mind to reach out to you, as I would have loved to come on the show sometime." Well, by all means, Jay, please do. "I have a few personal stories and I'm excited to share, stemming from my teenage years into my adult life." In brackets, paranormal in nature, of course. Brilliant. "Yesterday, my sister-in-law sent me a couple of photos she took at her place of employment. She's a nurse at a care facility in Jacksonville, Florida. She enjoys a nice rapport with the elderly patients. She often takes photos, which she shares on social media. The two photos I've attached here were taken just seconds apart. The first photo shows an older man sitting at a table enjoying a snack. The second photo is the same scene, but now there is something in the background. I'll let you be the judge. But if this is not an image of a shadow man with a brimmed hat, then I don't know what else it is. It's certainly a trope, a shadow figure at a nursing home. But these photos were sent to me within moments of her taking them. I have to admit it, I'm a little envious. I would love to get a photo capture like this. Please let me know your take on it. Send my regards to Becca." I will. Very best regards, JJ from Boston, Massachusetts. Well, the reason there's no background music on that story is because, as you can see, it's just JJ telling us about these photos. But please go onto the Facebook page and look at these photos. I will give my opinion on them right here and now. My initial skeptical reaction is to say, that's just someone walking past and it's motion blur. However, everything else in that image is so perfect in terms of, like, it's so still that this guy, if it is a person in the background, like a normal human being, they must have been running at some speed to create that motion blur. So I don't think it's that. Secondly, it's got no legs. Thirdly, there is definitely an image of a hat, like an outline of a hat, even within this. So, and also, thirdly, I suppose, it is all black. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I think this is a photo. The first photo I think I've seen of the Hat Man. Yes, I do. So if you want to see JJ's photo, and I suggest you do, and this is not me just trying to push the Facebook group, by the way. It's just that I can think of no other way to share this photo because it's an audio podcast. So go over to the Facebook group, facebook.com/talkaboutghosts, and have a look at this photo. Let me know what you think. I think it's outstanding. And JJ, thank you so much to you and your sister for sending it in. And if you do want to come on the show, just drop me another email and we'll get you on. But this is fantastic. It's amazing the sort of little back catalogue of paranormal evidence, if you like, that I'm building up, which is amazing to me. I've always wanted to be one of those sorts of guys like Maurice Gross, who investigated Enfield. I mean, I'm not going to be, because listen to me. And I'm not that serious, am I? Let's be honest. I'm hardly going to grow a handlebar moustache and start saying, "Well, the thing is with poltergeist energy." But I do like the fact that my inbox now holds quite a lot of paranormal evidence. So maybe I will form my own catalogue/library of paranormal peculiarity. Anyway, do go check this picture out because it's amazing. Let me know your thoughts on it as well. Thank you so much, JJ. And you know what? A new thing, well, not a new thing for the show, but like, obviously this is a ghostly experience. There's no music behind it or anything like that. But if you've got a photo that you can't explain, send it to me. I want to gather as much of this as I can. And then, of course, share it with you guys. Anyway, JJ, thank you very much for your email. Our next little email and story this is. What sort of intro is that? Our next little email and story this is. My Yoda. Anyway, our next email comes in from Barbara. And she writes, Hi, Kevin and Becca. Hi.
Hi.
Hello from Down Under. Can I just say, I have just found the show and I'm absolutely loving it with all the banter, but of course the wonderful stories. Why, thank you, Barbara. I'm not a very good writer of tales, but here it goes. So this is Barbara's story. I was born in the late 50s in the western suburbs of Melbourne. My dad, Bob Sinclair, passed away at the age of 54 when I was only 17. Oh. The house that we lived in was full of parties, even if it was only just the immediate kids. If Dad came home on a Saturday with a few beers under his belt, in brackets, yes, they drank and drove back then, it was party on. Dad renovated the house the way Mum wanted it, always working hard to get supplies to do so. He was a painter and decorator, so sometimes it took a while to get finished. Mum, bless her soul, used to rearrange the house a lot, so when you came back from school, you would walk through the front door into a table that wasn't there in the morning. Mum and Dad finally purchased a bar, an unmovable one, which we placed in the front room. I used to nickname it the barrister, because they were always at it. This room always had an edge of coldness to it, which I thought nothing of. After Dad passed, the parties stopped. However, in the latter part of the 70s, I had a party. My first one for workmates, just a few drinks for Christmas. There were only about 20 or so, not very big or loud compared to those the family used to have. It was probably around 12:30-ish when people started to head home. However, there was one partygoer who sat in a chair getting whiter and whiter in the face. I said to him, Are you okay? You don't look very well. He said, Barbara, I've been waiting for people to go so that I can ask you. Do you know I can see a young boy standing in the corner? He has been watching us all night. Well, I went stone cold and sobered right up. I said no, the room has always had a chill, but I've never seen anyone. He said yes, he's around 7 or 8, in old-fashioned clothes, and he is wet, as he said he drowned and he's been here a long time. The house is nowhere near water, by the way. He talked to the boy when no one was watching to try and help the boy pass over. After that party, the room was never cold again. As I'm now in my mid-60s, I must try to do a search and see what I can find. P.S. Oh, did I tell you the name of the person at the party that saw this young boy? His name was Bob Sinclair. Oh, did I tell you the name of the road I used to live in? It was called Bay View. Love to all your podcast listeners. Keep up the good work and bugger that C word. I completely agree, Barbara. Let's bugger that C word. Yes, we shall indeed. What an interesting tale, though. And it's very interesting that the guy had the same name as your dad. And I've always had an interest in like street names and stuff. So if that street was called Bay View, then did it mean that there was once water nearby? I guess we will never know, unless you find research, in which case I guess we will know. Thank you, though, Barbara. If you've got a story like Barbara's, don't forget you can get in touch by emailing contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And that's the same email address to get in touch with if you'd like to come on the show and share your story in a conversational type of way, too. I know I've mentioned this before, but we're hitting that time again where we are running slightly short on stories. So if you're sat on a story and you think, maybe I will send that in. You don't sound like that, probably. But do send it in. Now, the next story is a bit of a friend slash family sort of story. So Becca's dad, lovely fella, absolutely salt of the earth guy, doesn't believe in ghosts at all, complete skeptic, which is fine. But he started a new job recently and he was talking about the podcast to his colleagues, you know, when they started talking about ghosts. And as these things tend to happen, one of his colleagues in work said, I believe, and I've had stuff happen to me. And he said, well, why don't you drop Kev an email, see if he'll read it out on the show? And indeed, Kev will. So this is a bit of a mixed one, this, because it contains a lady called Amanda. And Amanda's then had, well, she's got in touch with a medium to try and help her out, with the spooky goings on in a house. And so the second part of this story is taken from that medium's book, because he ended up releasing a book about certain things, including Amanda's story. It'll all become clear as I explain the email. Okay, so this email's from Amanda. Hi, Kevin and Becca.
Hi. Hi.
Why am I doing that for my own voice now? I should just say hi, shouldn't I? Hi, Kevin and Becca. Hi.
Hi.
There you go. I work with Becca's dad. He's so funny and everybody just loves him.
Aww.
Can I say I'm absolutely loving your book, even though Steve told me off for not initially using a bookmark, which I soon put right. Well, like father, like daughter, I say, because Becca would tell me off the same way. Now, the bulk of the story. My spirit journey started at age 11. My grandma, who used to live with us, but had moved into a home about a year before, suddenly died. We didn't know she'd died. The landline, this was 1984, rang early one Sunday morning. We were all in bed asleep, but I heard it ring, so I got up to answer it. A very posh woman, in brackets, I have a Wigan accent, said to me, "Can I speak to Mr. Dwyer, please?" I woke my dad up, got back in bed, and when my sister Michelle, who I shared a room with, asked who was on the phone, I said, "Sherwood House," which was Grandma's home. My grandma has died. I simply just knew. It turned out that she had a sudden brain hemorrhage. Later that evening, I was in my bedroom with my best friend, and the lamp didn't just flicker, it went off and on a few times. I shouted down to my mum and dad and asked if the electric had been going off and on. They said it had not. She then says, "Stop it, Becca, it really did happen." My second journey was age 16. My sister had moved away to Scotland, and I now had my own bedroom. Oh, the joy of not having a line down the middle of the room, because she was 4 years older and a pain in the arse. I had a digital alarm clock at the bottom of my bed on a table. For approximately 3 months, every night without fail, at 4:02 a.m., I would wake up. We had fields at the back of the house, in brackets, public open spaces, not farmers, so it was quiet where we lived. Every morning at 4:02, I would wake up, look at the clock, turn over, and go back to sleep. 3 months into this involuntary ritual, I woke up, checked the time, 4:02, and turned over, only to see a little boy, aged about 4 or 5, who was very dirty, and as clear as day stood staring at me, right at the side of me. I froze, I could not speak, I could not move, I couldn't do anything. Because I've been reading your book, I now believe that this was sleep paralysis. The only thing I could do was to keep closing my eyes and opening them, only to find the boy was still there. It felt like I was in paralysis for about half an hour before I finally opened my eyes and the boy had disappeared. After that night, I never woke up again at that time. Our house was at the end of an L-shaped block of terraced houses and was built something like 1800, and had previously been a cotton mill before it was turned into terraced houses. My third experience was at the house I grew up in, but I can't remember my age. It may have actually been my second experience. I was hoovering upstairs on my own. A very, very firm hand was put down hard on my shoulder. As I hadn't heard anything, I jumped a mile and dropped the hoover and spun around. Nobody there, or even upstairs. My fourth and final, to date, journey began after I bought a cottage built circa 1850, because that was as far back as the land registry records went. It may well have been older. I renovated the house completely and lived there throughout the renovations with my daughter. At the end of the renovation, literally the day I finished, things started to happen that completely freaked me out, and my daughter Megan. So much so, that if I hadn't found the brilliant Howard Davison, I would have sold up and moved ASAP, no matter what. The rest of this story is told in the attachments below from Howard's book, which he has kindly allowed me to share with you. So, what we're going to listen to now, you lovely, lovely people, is the excerpt from Howard's book, which he's kindly allowed us to share. Howard's book's called The Love of Spirit. I imagine you can get it on Amazon. I don't know, but I imagine so. So what we're going to hear now is the story from Amanda's perspective, taken exactly from that book. Okay, so this is Amanda's story. I first met Howard at the Spiritualist Church in Wigan Town Centre, circa 2009, when I had gone to the church in the hope of finding someone to get rid of a ghost at my cottage, which was built circa 1850. I had moved into the house with my daughter Megan in 2007, and after spending 2 years renovating it, things started to happen in the cottage, witnessed by myself and my daughter on separate occasions, which really, really scared us. We would come home to discover grey-coloured chalk-like perfect circles drawn on the lino on the kitchen floor, which wiped off very easily. The tin dog bowls, which were on a stand in the kitchen, would be skimmed across the kitchen floor. Terrifying experiences which made us feel that the house was no longer a home to us. Thankfully, Howard was providing a reading at the church that evening and agreed to come to the house to help us. He reassured me at the time that the ghostly experiences were nothing to worry about, and the spirit responsible for them would most likely be a child. When Howard came to visit us, he explained that he would first provide evidence of spirit to us by telling us information about the present time he could not possibly know in order to reassure us that what he was telling us about spirit was true. He came into the living room and he could not see into any of the other rooms in the house as the internal doors were shut. He had also not seen the rear of the house or the back garden, as this could not be seen from the road or driveway, and there was no access to the rear of the house from the rear. Howard immediately told me that I had the house completely renovated, in brackets which I had not previously told him, but said that this included the garden and that I had also purchased a new shed. This was all true, and Howard could not have known this. He told me that although the shed was new and so was the padlock, the shed door sticks at the bottom and I have to jiggle the key in the padlock in order to unlock it. I could not believe what I was hearing. It was completely true and Howard could not have known these facts. He also told Megan facts about the television remote control in her bedroom and her French school homework the previous night, but I will leave her to tell you about this. He told me that I have a friend who lives in Warrington and we had not been in contact due to a falling out, but that she had written to me to make peace. I had received such a letter in the post that morning from one of my best friends, Jane, who lives in Warrington. He told me my grandmother Mary and my grandfather William, both in spirit, were present at the reading. He told me that my grandmother was sat on a chair behind me like she always did when she was alive. My grandmother lived with us when I was a child and she used to sit on a wooden chair which was behind the sofa at the back of the room, as due to her arthritis she could not sit on the sofa. He also told me that my grandfather, in brackets who I had never met as he'd passed away before I was born, told me to trust a man who I'd not yet met. He said my grandfather showed him a window and the word Tildesley and asked me if I could take that information. I told him I didn't know what it meant. Howard said the man I was to meet would have links to both these things. A few months later, I met a man called Dave who worked for a window company called Tildesley Windows, who later became a good friend of mine. Howard also told me that I had a piece of jewellery in a drawer and pointed to the drawer rather than to my jewellery box. He was right about that too. It was a costume ring given to me by my Auntie Kath when I was a child. Auntie Kath was my favourite auntie and I adored her. She was also in spirit and Howard was able to describe her very accurately, even down to her hair always being immaculate and the fact she loved jewellery and wore lots of it. He told me that I would often smell perfume and cigarette smoke in my bedroom, in brackets, which was true, even though I don't smoke. And he told me that Auntie Kath would be close when I could smell it. Howard also told me to contact Dawn. Dawn is my cousin. He told me that Dawn was going through a hard time with her daughter and that I should reassure her that everything would be okay. I contacted Dawn, who I had not been in contact with for a long time, and she confirmed that she had indeed been going through a tough time with her daughter and couldn't believe that I had got in touch to ask her. Howard was right. Everything was okay in the end and Dawn is now very close to her daughter. After providing me with the evidence, Howard then carried out a blessing in the house and told me that a six-year-old boy called John James Caldwell had died in the local area many years ago due to a head injury. He told me that John had not passed over to spirit because he had been afraid of his father. He said John had several siblings and his mother had died when John had been born and his father struggled to cope. Howard told John that his father was no longer someone to be afraid of and Howard helped him to pass over to spirit with the help of John's grandmother who was already in spirit.
Interesting. Carry on doing what you're doing, you two. You're brilliant, and as for Howard, I have so many readings from mediums I have lost count and never met such a gifted man as this. Becca, if you had a reading from Howard, I know for a fact that you would no longer be a skeptic. All the very best to you all. Amanda. I've got an idea. Hold the front page. I'm going to pause this a sec. Pause. Over. I'm with Becca. Hello, Becca.
Hello.
Somebody's wrote in. You remember that person who works with your dad? And they sent us in a story.
Yeah.
I've just got round to reading it out. Okay. Right. And at the end of it, they say, and I quote, Becca, if you had a reading off this medium called Howard, you would no longer be a skeptic.
Ooh, okay.
Now, I put it to you, Challenge. Becca. Do you want me to arrange a reading with this medium called Howard and we will put it out on the podcast?
Yeah, I'll have a reading.
Will ya?
Yeah.
How exciting.
If I was to do a reading on the podcast that we could broadcast, I'd do a reading, yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'll allow it.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get in touch with Howard. We're going to get you to have a psychic reading on air, if he agrees to it, that is.
Well, yeah, if he agrees to it. See, I'm not sure that many psychics would agree to a reading, a public reading with a skeptic.
Well, let's see if he does. Well, this is a challenge. I mean, if he's as good as I've just read out, then he should bite me hand off, really.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm always open to being proved wrong.
And the good thing is, you're a skeptic, but you're not a rude skeptic, are you? So you're not going to go, this is bollocks, and walk off.
Not live.
Becca. But you do accept that
yeah.
You, okay.
Yeah, I'll go in open-minded, yeah.
Amazing.
I'll let him try, yeah. I won't just like instantly dismiss everything and try and find ways of shutting him down. If he says something's true, I'll say it's true.
Fantastic. All right, well, I'm going to set this up. I don't know for when. It'll probably be when we can all meet. Well, it has to be when we can all meet up again after lockdown.
Does it? Would you not do it over Zoom or something?
Good point. I don't know, Becca. Look, are you looking finding solutions? You want this reading, don't you?
Well, yeah, no, I'm just, I think a lot of people are doing stuff over Zoom, aren't they? Well, everything's moved on to Zoom at the minute.
So. Well, yeah, I suppose I'm doing interviews via Zoom, so yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of it. I've seen some spiritual readings over Zoom as well, just floating around.
Well, you might want to do it over Zoom. This is exciting. I am very excited by this.
Also, apparently you could get away with it because it's work, isn't it? You're allowed to, yeah. To meet people for work.
Yeah, technically. I can say, listen, mate, I'm interviewing here, copper.
No, I mean, it's his work.
Oh, yeah, well, you can say that then.
Yeah. I'm not paying, though. You'll have to pay.
Yeah, fine. You might do it for gratis. You never know. It's kind of publicity.
Why would you do it for gratis?
Because if, like, you know, a lot of people listen to this show. If he does it and he's amazing and he convinces you, then he's going to be inundated, isn't he?
Yeah, but also if he's amazing, he probably won't need to work for free.
Ah, touche. Well, we'll see. We'll see what the going rate is.
I'm just saying, be prepared to pay.
Yeah, no, I'll happily pay the man for his time. You know, let's see what he charges first. If he's like, I'm that good, it's £1,000 to sit and go. I'll be like, well, I'm sorry. I can tell your future and it's very bleak. But yeah, so you would accept this to happen, yeah?
Yeah, I'll do it, yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So we can all look forward to one future episode, Skeptic versus Psychic. Well, it's not a battle. Let's see.
Yeah, but, no, I'm not going to hit him like gladiators.
No, your dad's colleague who sent the story in literally says, Becca, if you... She ended the story with, Becca, if you had a reading from Howard, you would no longer be a skeptic.
Right, okay. That's strong words, aren't they? So, yeah.
It's very strong words.
So.
I am so excited by this. Okay. And literally, as the Pointer Sisters said, I just can't hide it. Okay. But I'm not about to lose control. And I'll let you get back to whatever you're doing with your day. And you. I do apologise for distracting you.
As you should.
I should indeed.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. As Becca leaves the room, have we arranged for one of the biggest meetings in podcast history? This podcast history, anyway. Becca the Skeptic possibly having a reading from someone we just heard is one of the best psychics around. Watch this space. So our final email today comes in from Laura, and she writes, Hi, Kevin and Becca.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Laura, and I'm a fairly new listener to your podcast. I was introduced to it by one of your long-time listeners, and I love it. Aw, I wonder who that was. She also encouraged me to submit a story or two. I definitely have several aside from the ones I've written here. Having grown up in a house that experiences paranormal activity fairly regularly. It's not like what you'd perhaps imagine. There's no poltergeists, screaming ghouls, or fully-fledged apparitions. That said, the house has its own unique family history, and I've experienced the echoes of it in more ways than one. So these, ladies and gentlemen, are Laura's tales. For context, the house is a brick one-story rancher built in the 1960s, located in a small Virginia town. It was originally my great-aunt's house, before it became my parents after my great aunt passed. I came along in 98, my brother in 2000, and shortly after my parents added an addition onto the end of the house to make more space for their growing family. I lived there my entire life right up to leaving for college. The first story I'd like to tell you about takes place in this house. It's 4 a.m, a weekend night. I'm trying to sleep on the couch in the family room. This room used to be a screened-in porch before my parents changed it into a family gathering space as a part of their renovation. In short, I was in the new part of the house, and this will be important. I'd been on edge and wide awake all night. I can't explain why, nor do I remember for sure why I was asleep on the couch instead of my bedroom. In brackets, this was several years ago. But I do remember I tried to make the best of it, and was laying down on the couch with my eyes closed. It's important to mention that there is a very long hallway that goes through the centre of the house. Think of it this way. At one end of the hall, in brackets, the opposite end of the house from where I was, is my parents' bedroom, my brother's bedroom, and mine. Come farther up the hallway and there's the kitchen. Go all the way to the end of the hall, your last stop, and you've reached the family room. And that night, you would have also reached me, tossing and turning in a futile attempt to sleep. I was still laying there when I heard footsteps coming down the old creaky hall, clear as anything. I didn't think anything of it, assuming it was my dad. He worked shift work and kept all sorts of irregular hours as a result. Maybe he was going to get a drink of water. Maybe work had called him in early. Maybe he was just restless. All plausible explanations. I waited, not moving as the footsteps grew closer. They walked down the length of the hall and through the kitchen before stopping right at the threshold of the family room, at the end of the sofa. The footsteps went no farther. I calmly looked up, fully expecting to greet my dad, but no one was there. If someone had been there, but perhaps decided to head back down the hallway before I spotted them, I would have had a clear vantage point of them going back down the hall. But there was nothing. The room was silent and the hallway was empty. Needless to say, I gathered my courage, ran back down the hall to my room, and kept the lamp on beside my bed for the rest of the night. Strange footsteps are nothing new to the house, but I'd never experienced it quite like that before. It still strikes me that the ghost, or residual energy, I'm not sure, only kept to the old part of the house, pausing at the threshold of where the renovated part of the house began. I'm not sure what that means, but I can tell you I didn't sleep a wink the rest of the night. Isn't that interesting? What a great first story. And it ties in with it. I don't want to say trope. I think I overused the word trope, if I'm being honest. But we all know, if you're into the paranormal, as we all are, as I keep saying, you'll have seen the old like floor maps where it says this is the route of the ghost and it's where the doors used to be. And that's why ghosts allegedly walk through walls, because there was previously a doorway or there's been a renovation and it's blocked off how they used to walk or where they used to walk. So therefore, they still walk it, but there's something for them to walk through. And there's also that whole thing about renovation stirring up spirit activity. It's quite a common theme, as we all know. But what a brilliant first story. And this is your second story. The second, more light-hearted story I'd like to share took place in the same house. And it happened when I was in middle school. It was the evening and I was once again in the family room. My mum was in the next room, the kitchen, helping my brother with his homework. All of a sudden, we all hear, "Hello?" I was startled, since that wasn't my mother speaking and it definitely wasn't my brother. It was a female's voice who I'd never heard before. Her voice was sing-song, and her voice was very cheerful and sweet. Gentle. I felt no sense of danger or fear from it. It almost felt like a friend was greeting me. Mostly, I was just puzzled at where it had come from. I popped my head around the corner. "Did you hear that?" I called to my mum. As it turns out, she had, and she had a theory about who it could be. My mum said it sounded exactly like her own mother's voice, my maternal grandmother. I'd never met her since she passed away from Alzheimer's just months before I was born. I've always been told that she was a very sweet, very intelligent, resourceful woman whose legacy I've always deeply respected. I'd always wished I could have met her, and I'd like to think the cheerful greeting was my grandmother stopping by for a brief moment just to let us know she was there, watching over us. Thank you for reading. I hope it wasn't too long. And I hope you and Becca are doing well and staying safe. And I wish you both nothing but the best. Your podcast makes my days just a little bit brighter. Aw. Laura. And at the bottom she's put, by the way, it's okay to use my name in this. Bloody hell, Laura, stick that at the front. Imagine the edits I'd have to do with that. I'm joking. Thank you very much, Laura. What a beautiful series of stories. And I love that last one about, you know, was it your grandmother coming to say, I'm here, love, just watching over you. She's Irish, by the way. I've just made your grandmother Irish. But yeah, I do like these stories of people coming back. I've said this before. My favourite stories, obviously, are the ones that make me think that the devil himself is sitting in the toilet and I'm going to walk in the toilet and he's going to go, I'm going to bloody eat you alive. And I go, ah, and run away. But I do have time, a lot of time, for these lovely ones where it's like, she was just letting me know everything was going to be okay. That's very, ah. And we do all like a bit of a, ah. Now and then, don't we? So thank you very much, Laura. Don't forget, guys, if you've got a story that you want me to read out or you want to come on the show yourself, email me at contact@talkaboutghosts.com and we will have a chat, whether that be via email or face to virtual face. In the meantime, guys, don't forget, if you want to go and listen to the Patreon episode I've just released where we talk about the ghosts of rock stars and ghosts that rock stars may have encountered, then you need to go to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. You'll get 2 extra shows a month over there. In the meantime and in between time, guys, I love you all very dearly and take care of yourselves and each other. Copyright Jeremy Springer, mid-90s stylee. Okay, I'll catch you later, guys. Tatty bye.